Go ahead and open up with prayer. Praise the Lord. There we go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's so good to be in your house. Lord, it's so good for opportunity to come together and to worship you and to praise you and to hear your word. Lord, we just thank you for your presence here. Lord, we know that you're here because we're here, and we know that you are wherever we are because we know you live in us, Father. Lord, we thank you because your word even says that wherever two or three are gathered, that you're in the midst of them. And Lord, we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your purposes and your plans over our lives, precious Savior. Lord, we just give you glory tonight, Father. We just give you glory. Lord, you are the reason. You are the reason we breathe. You are the reason our hearts beat. You are the reason, oh God, that we exist. And we are just so grateful to you. We are so grateful to your presence, mighty Savior. And Lord, we just lift up our pastors who aren't here tonight. We just ask you to be with them. Bless them, oh God. Bless them. Sow into them. Fill them up, O God. Fill their cups up afresh and overflowing and running over, O God. And Lord, we ask you to just be with Glenda, who's been so sick, O God. Lord, we just ask you to strengthen her body and to heal her, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we lift up Miss Marty to you, O God. And Lord, we ask that you just touch her, Father. We ask that you open the doors for where she is to go next, Father, and that you just make a way where there is no way, O God. And Lord, you just get her into the best place for her, Father. And Lord, you just heal her body. Strengthen her and heal her body, Father. And Lord, we just praise you, Father. Lord, we just lift up the body before you, and we just ask you to move in the body, O God. Lord, that you touch those that are sick, Lord, that you bring healing into their bodies in the name of Jesus. And Lord, those that are not here tonight for whatever reason, Lord, we ask that you just be with them, that you strengthen them, that you keep your hands upon them, that you continue to sow into them and draw them into you, O God. And Lord, we just ask you to pour fresh fire over our body, fresh fire over your people, oh God. Lord, not just of this house, but Lord, of every house, oh God, of every body, Lord Jesus, of every denomination, Lord. We just ask you to pour out your spirit, pour out your anointing, oh God. And Lord, we just ask you to draw in the lost and the broken and the hurting. Lord, draw them into your house. Draw them into your presence. Draw them into you, oh God. And Lord, we give you the glory and we give you the honor forever, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you would go with me tonight in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, please. Hallelujah. Have you ever had a prayer, a need that was just burning inside of you? You were desperate and you were seeking the Lord, but no answer came. You were looking for an answer, but it just didn't come. And so you lost hope. You just thought, well, maybe God doesn't hear me. Maybe this is my lot in life. Maybe God's mad at me. Hallelujah. I know that I have been in that place where I'm like, okay, well, fine. The Lord doesn't want to send an answer, then I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, and it's just my cross to bear. I just have to live with it. Hallelujah. And we get so easily discouraged when we don't get the answer right away. Because we're so used to a society that's microwave, drive-thrus. You know, everything is instant. We want it now. We have it now. We can order something on Amazon, which I did for the retreat, up until 2 days before, and it got here the day of. The morning of, it was there. The day before, it was there. Shoot, we just count on that all the time, and we're used to getting things when we want them. But that isn't always how things work out. Praise the Lord. In Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, the word says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." We're going to stop a minute there. Not lose heart. But don't we do that sometimes? Don't we lose heart when we've not got the answer, or we can't see a way through the situation and the answer hasn't come, or the finances aren't there? Don't we begin to lose heart? When our cars aren't running the way they should be, when our kids aren't doing what we want them to do, don't we lose heart? We do. I have. Well, maybe you guys are so much better than me. This has probably never happened to you. But I do lose heart. I have gotten discouraged. And I have thought, Lord, you said you'd answer. Where's the answer? I need it now. And this verse is telling us to pray and not to lose heart. Because Jesus knew. He knew that it's easy to lose heart. He knew that it's easy to get discouraged when we don't have the answer the second we want it. That it's easy to just lose faith. To just lose faith. When we're not seeing what we want to see. When we're not feeling what we want to feel. When doors haven't been opened that we expected to be open. When a way hasn't been made. When we expected a way to be made before we got there. We do get discouraged. We do lose heart. And some of us rather easily. We get pouty and we begin to feel like God might not love us. Or maybe His love for us isn't as great as we thought it was. Or maybe He doesn't care about what's happening in our day-to-day life. I mean, maybe He's just on that big old throne up there. You know, and He's got so many people to care for that, you know, what's going on in my life isn't a priority in His heart. Or maybe He doesn't care what we're going through. Or maybe this bad situation is just God's will. Maybe it's God's way of saying, shame on you. Our cross to bear. We do this sometimes. And that's a sad thing. Because God is working on so many things at one time. To bring so many things into order. To make so many things fall into place. Things that we don't even know exist. You know, before I was born, my aunt went to Mexico and became a missionary in Mexico for 3 years. She laid groundwork that we would then step onto when we went to Mexico. The people we went to work with was her best friend from her time of as a missionary, who they stayed best friends forever, still to this day. And so when we went to Mexico, we went, them knowing who we were, that we were her niece and nephew, and that we were going there. And that door was already opened and prepared because she went long before I was born. God is always working on things, working on so many different facets. And, you know, at the women's retreat this weekend, you know, it came out that God is always working ahead. He's working ahead. What He's doing isn't just about right this second. Woo, it's about ahead. It's about making a way for your future. It's about making, He's got a plan going on. He's laying groundwork for the temple. He's doing all kinds of things all at the same time. And we get this tunnel vision where all we can see, all we want to know is right here and right now. And so our focus is off. It's like I can see back there really good until I take my glasses off. And all I can see is what's right here, right in front of me, right this second. I can see heads out there, but they're like swimming heads, bobbles. Right? We don't have God's vision. We don't see what He sees. All I can see is the here and now and what's in front of me. But the Lord sees here and now, and He sees tomorrow and the next day and the year after that. And He sees from the very beginning of time. And so He's making all of these plans, and He's working about all of these situations that will bring Him glory, that will bring Him honor. That it just takes away all possibility that this could have been done on my own strength or in my own will. You know, sometimes we're so used to being who we are. We're so used to being independent. We're so used to being strong at first time that we go to pick up that bale of hay and suddenly it weighs a ton and we can't lift it anymore. We're like, What's wrong with this? Hey, why can't I pick? I've always picked that up. I've packed those around since I was a kid. What's going on? That's kind of how we are. We lose sight. And everything should be as it was and as we remember it versus how it is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And what that does is it begins to cause us to lose faith. Oh, no, sister, I don't ever lose faith. Well, when we stop going to the Lord with these things because we didn't get an answer, we've lost faith. When we begin to question, when we begin to think, well, this is my cross to bear, or maybe I'm not important enough, or the Lord's not hearing me, that's a loss of faith. Hallelujah. Because, you know, the Lord cares about us so much that He's already done something super huge and super important that we forget. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His power. He's given us His authority. I don't have to look at a situation and pray about it in my authority, because that's zero. I'm like low man on the totem pole in my house, way down there. But in God's house, it's a different thing. In the spirit world, it's a different thing, because I operate in the authority and in the power of the Holy Spirit. How many of you are filled with the Holy Spirit tonight? Guess what you got? You got the same power. You have the same authority. And you have the same Spirit living and working in you. You just have to recognize it. You have to acknowledge it. You have to believe in it. And you have to use it. That storm in the boat would have never have stopped if Jesus hadn't spoke to it. That storm would have kept on raging. It would have kept on blowing. And those disciples would have stayed all curled up on the bottom of the boat crying like little girls if Jesus hadn't have stepped in. If Jesus hadn't have spoke into the storm. And you and I, we can speak into the storms that are raging in our lives, and we can trust and we can believe that something will be done, because that's the power of God. It's not your power. It's not my power. It's not my anointing. It's not your anointing. It is the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that does those things. And that same Spirit lives and operates in us. Hallelujah. Let's go back to the story. Luke 18. It says, we're just on verse 2. Well, 1.5. Then we'll go to 2. It says, Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming, she weary me. He was getting tired of seeing her face. He was getting tired of her begging him to avenge her, to defend her, to help her circumstance and her situation, to step in. He was getting tired of hearing her plead. Here's the thing. He was a bad king who didn't regard God, who didn't regard man. We serve a good king. We serve the King of Kings, who regards you, who cares about you, who died for you. We serve a living King who cares about your situation. He cares about your circumstances. He cared so much about the disciples in the boat, even though they woke him up when he was exhausted. Even though they were acting in fear and not faith, he calmed that storm for them. Do you think Jesus was afraid? Not one bit. Do you think he calmed that storm for his benefit? He was sound asleep, happy as a clam. He calmed that storm for the disciples, for the ones who were calling out to him, for the ones who were afraid. Do you know he hears you when you call out to him? He knows where you are. He knows the storm that you are facing. Before you ever face it, he knows what's coming. And he hears you. If he's slow in answering, it's not that he's not answering. It's not that the answer is no. It's not that he doesn't care about you. It's not that he doesn't love you or see you. It's that he is preparing the way. Not just the way for this moment, but for the way ahead, for days ahead, for weeks ahead, for months ahead, and possibly even years ahead. Do you know when Abraham went and crossed the land? The promised land was where Abraham walked. Everywhere he walked, God told him, go and see this land from the north to the south to the east to the west. All of this land I am going to give to your descendants. See the land. Everywhere he saw, everywhere he walked, was the promised land that would then hundreds of years later be given to the children of Israel. Hundreds of years later, when they were taken out of Egypt, they were brought eventually to this promised land. How many years ahead was God preparing that land? Everywhere Abraham walked was for the Israelites. Everywhere he saw was for the children of Israel. God was preparing before them the promises and the inheritance they were going to receive, and they hadn't even been born yet. That's how far in advance God works. Ooh, he is moving that far ahead to prepare good things for his people. He hears you when you go before him. Do not get faint-hearted. Do not lose hope. Do not give up. He hears your cry. He sees your situation, and he is right there with you in the boat. You are not alone. Hallelujah. So then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? That stopped me. When the Lord brought this story, this is a story you're told in Sunday school. That's how long ago I learned it, in Sunday school. I've read it I don't know how many times, and I've never taken a moment to focus on this verse. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? Now, if we connect that verse to the verse that he said up above, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Here's the thing. When we pray and lose heart, we've lost faith. When we cease praying because an answer hasn't come, we've lost faith. We no longer ask because we no longer believe we're going to get it. We just cease to seek him over it. Well, it's my cross. Well, probably my fault anyway. I mean, I'm just not his favorite. I get it. I made these choices. And all of that is loss of faith. When we begin to doubt that the Lord isn't going to answer for some obscure reason, you know, because I'm naughty, because I'm not as good as I should be.
Well, he knew that when he died for me. He knew I was going to have a real lip problem. He knew that I was going to be sassy and snarky and ornery. He knew before he ever died for me. But he also knew that he was going to call me the righteousness of God because he died for me and I accepted his gift. He adopted me in. And so when we get to that place where we've lost heart, we're in doubt. That means what we've really lost is faith. And we're called to be a people of faith. The word says that without faith, it is impossible to please him in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when we cease to take these things to the Lord, when we cease to petition him or to lift up these requests to him, it's a lack of faith because we don't believe he's going to do it because we're worried. He's not going to answer. And you know, if we don't ask it, well then it doesn't hurt so bad when we don't get the answer. Then we're not so disappointed and disillusioned. But faith says we go and we continue to ask. And we then begin to thank him for what he's going to do, even though it's not done. Even though I don't see it, I believe it's coming. I believe it's on the way. And so now I'm on to thanking him for it. Lord, I thank you for your provision. Woo, I thank you for your provision. I thank you for your abundance. It's pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. I thank you, Father, before it comes, because I know you have the answer. I know you are the answer. I know that you are working this out according to your riches and glory. I know that you've got me. But sometimes, because we're afraid of the answer or the non-answer, we cease to go. And then we have a faith problem. Listen to this last part of this verse. It says, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently means to be thorough, completeness, persistent in action, particularly in matters of faith, just like this widow. She knew he was a bad king. When you have a bad king, everybody knows you got a bad king. When he's a king who doesn't care about his people, everybody knows that this king does not care about his people. When he regards no man, when he regards does not regard God, everybody knows. Because good things don't come out of bad men. Bad men don't do good things. She knew what kind of king he was, and yet she wouldn't stop. Day after day, she went before that king and begged him, get me justice. Avenge me. You are my king. It's your job to supply. It's your job to take care of me. I live in your kingdom. And if a bad king will eventually take care of her, how much more so the good king? The King of Kings, the King who died for you. Do you know in every religion, or really close to every religion, there is a story of a Noah. There is a story of a first creation. There is a story of a Moses type figure. Do you know the Quran talks about Jesus, in fact. He's mentioned. He was a disciple, a prophet even. Just not the Son of God. But they all talk about things from out of the Bible. Because the Bible is real. The Bible is real, and the God we serve is real. And if a bad king would get you justice, how much more so would a good king do? But the question comes back to, when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? Or will we become disenchanted or disheartened because we're not getting things when we expect to get them, or we're not getting the answer that we expect to get? Are we allowing the enemy to wear us down? You know, because God doesn't wear down. Our God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't wear down. He's not lazy. He's not unjust. He's faithful, and he's true, and he loves us, and he cares about us, and he cares about what's happening to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's always there, but we let the voice of the enemy become the voice we're listening to. And I know you can say, oh, I don't ever listen to the enemy. I've never even heard the enemy. Okay. Let's do it this way. Whose voice do you think the enemy is going to sound like?
Scott, Satan here. We're going to have a talk.
Is that the voice? No. Do you think he talks in a high, lilting, sweet little voice? Well, Janine, we're going to have a talk. No, I don't think so. Do you know what his voice sounds like? Sounds like just like yours. The same voice you always hear in your head. You know that voice that says you're not worth a hoot? God's not going to answer that prayer. He don't give two hoots about you. He's really busy with the important people. How about, you know, you're not good enough. You've never been good enough. You never will be good enough. How about that voice? How about the voice that says, your mama didn't want you, your daddy didn't want you, and God certainly doesn't want you? How about that voice? How about the voice that says, oh, you're never going to have anything because I'm going to see that you don't. I'm going to take it all away from you. How about that voice? How about the voice that says, you're ugly, you've always been ugly, and you're only ever going to be ugly. Nobody's ever going to love you, because who can love somebody as ugly as you? Have you ever heard anything like that? You've heard the enemy's voice. That's not God's voice. That's not your voice. That's the enemy's voice. But it sounds like your voice. Well, it's just me talking to me. No, I can assure you, it is the enemy talking to you to discourage you, to cause your heart to lose hope, to cause you to lose faith in God. You know that voice that says, don't believe it. Don't go there. Oh, I love you. That's God's voice. And it sounds just like your own voice in your head, because it's your head. And everything in your head sounds like your voice, because it's your head, your ears. It's your voice. So we've all heard the enemy's voice, that one that taunts us, that says nobody will ever forgive you. You're not good enough. Hallelujah. God doesn't talk to us like that. The enemy wants us to lose hope, but we have to remember God cares about us. He loves us. We have to, you know, this has been coming up for several weeks in a row now, but God wants you to get it. We have to know who we are. We are the called and the chosen. We are joint heirs with Jesus. We are the righteousness of God. We are his children. We have to remember who we are and hold on to faith. Not let the enemy dishearten us and steal our faith. And so many times we're in struggles and we're crying out to God to fix it, and to help us, and to show us, and to lead us, when we forget he has given us the keys to every situation. He has given us his spirit. He has given us his power. And he has given us his authority to act. We don't need Jesus to calm the storm. The disciples did not need Jesus to calm the storm. They just didn't know it. Their faith hadn't got to that spot yet. They just hadn't connected all the dots. But you and I, we know. We can speak to the storm. And we can begin to praise God in the middle of the storm, knowing He's already sending the answer. The Word says that He has sent the answer before we even ask. He knows what we're going to ask, and He has already sent the answer. He is already working on it before we ever ask. And we can trust that He is a good God, and He will keep His promises to us, and He will make a way where there seems to be no way in our eyes. It's never a blocked way in His eyes. He always sees the way. Woo! That excites me. He always sees the way. He always knows the way. It doesn't ever look impossible to Him. It doesn't ever look blocked to Him. It doesn't ever seem unmovable to Him. He can see the path. He knows the way. And we simply just have to trust Him. Oh, hallelujah. You and I are not helpless, but sometimes I think we are. We are not helpless. We have the Word of God, the authority of God, the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and we must believe and act like we have those things and fight the enemy and not stop fighting. We must keep fighting for what we need, for what we want, for what we're asking the Lord for. It's not God we're fighting. It is the enemy we are fighting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Ephesians 6:11 talks about the armor of God. God has not left us helpless. This little old woman, this little old widow, she was helpless. She didn't have Jesus. She didn't have His presence, His Spirit, His anointing, His authority, His Word. She had a rotten king, and yet she didn't allow that to stop her from going again and again and again before Him until He gave in and gave her justice. We have a good God, and He's given us all the keys we need. He has given us all the power and all the authority we need. And He's even gone a step further. He has given us our battle armor because He understands we're in a war. He knows that this life is a war. He knows that there is a spiritual battle raging and that we need protection. And so He has given us the armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. So when that voice comes and says, you're not worth a hoot, you can say, ha ha, I am worth the blood of Jesus that He shed on the cross for me. When He says that you're ugly, you can say, hey, I am the workmanship of God and I am beautiful, created in His image. And when He comes to you and He says, nobody loves you, you can say, ha, the King of Glory, He loves me. And my name is written in His book of life and I will live with Him forever. The enemy can't stand against the Word of God. He can't. It's impossible. And so we need to know who we are. We need to understand what the armor of God does for us so that when He comes to discourage us, we can fight back. When He comes to steal our faith, we can fight back. When He comes to steal our families or our marriages or our children, we can fight back, not in a physical battle, but in a spiritual battle where we are already going to be the victors because Jesus already beat the enemy. Hallelujah. It says in verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Hallelujah. We have the armor of God. He has not left us without protection. He has not left us defenseless, praise the Lord. But He hasn't left us a partial covering or a little bit of a covering. He has left us a complete suit of armor. But here's the thing. You know, if we leave our armor sitting in the closet, doesn't do us any good when we get into the battle. If we leave it sitting at home, it's on my horse. Doesn't matter if we don't have it on us. It does us no good. And when we go to battle, you know, when soldiers go to battle, they carry a horrendous amount of weight of gear. I can't remember how much my son told me. It's horrific. It's a horrendous amount. When he joined the Army and when he was in boot camp, they used to have to go do these running exercises in full, you know, in full gear. And it's really close to 100 pounds of full gear. And they have to full out run. You put 100 pounds on my back and I'm just going to sit down. That's it. I'm just down. Where I got. That's right. Right where I'm going to stay. But they have to run in that battle armor. They have to be prepared for what could happen. Not that it's going to, or, you know, but it could. And they have to be prepared. We need to be prepared day and night. Not that it's going to happen, but it could happen. And if we're not prepared when it does happen, what happens? We get wounded. We get beat up. We lose hope. We lose faith. And we just slink down into the miry clay of the lies of the enemy, praise the Lord. And he's given us the Word of God. Oh, the Word of God is so powerful. Oh, the Word of God is power in your mouth. Power in your mouth. Every answer you and I need, we can find in the Word of God. And, you know, somebody was telling, well, I've never heard God speak to me. God doesn't talk to me. Open up your Bible. Open up your Bible. And you will hear him talk to you. Oh, that's not him talking to me. That's me reading. I said, that's his word talking to you. That's his word filling you. That's his love letter to you. His word. That's him talking to you from Genesis to Revelation. That is him telling you all about the plan of salvation that he made for us. Because man, without Jesus, cannot walk the walk and talk the talk. Even with Jesus, it's up and down, isn't it? We still sin, don't we? Praise the Lord. We need to pray the word over ourselves every day. We need to say it out loud. We need to believe it. We need to declare it over our circumstances and our situations. We need to believe what the word says more than what the devil is constantly saying in our ear. We need to believe the word over what our husbands or our wives tell us. We need to believe the word over what the government tells us, what over man tells us. We need the word to be our first and foremost authority on everything, because it is. And that's God talking to us. We have power over the enemy, real, actual power and authority to back it up. We are not powerless, glory to God. He has given us his power, praise the Lord. And in Ephesians 6, verse 10, we're going to go all the way back up. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord, my brethren. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Jesus' power. Jesus is power, and he has given that power to you and me. We are not powerless. I know sometimes we feel powerless. As Marty laid there on the floor at camp. Hi, Marty girl, I love you. As Marty laid there on the floor at camp with my daughter holding her and keeping her from moving, it felt powerless. But I put my hand underneath her and I began to pray in the Spirit. I began to pray in the Spirit. Lord, this is in your hands. In the name of Jesus. I don't know what's going on in there, Lord, but you do. And I continued to pray. You know, the doctors that did the surgery, one of the doctors came back in to her room and said, you know, we have seen breaks like this. We see breaks like this all the time. Except those breaks always separate completely and you end up with two different surgeries. You only required one. And our question is, why is that? Why is that? She said, well, I had somebody sitting on me and wouldn't let me get up because I was sure as heck gonna. I was sure trying to do it. And she wouldn't let me get up. That might be a factor. Do you know what a bigger factor is? There was people praying all over that camp. There was people praying all over that camp. Hallelujah. Her fracture at her age is a big deal. But it's not going to be. Because God's got it. Because God's got it. From God's got it. Hallelujah. God's got it. And He's got you. And He's got me. And we have Him. And we have His authority. And we have His power. And we have His armor. And we have His word. What else do we need? What else do we need? It says, be strong in the power of His might. Our God is mighty. We serve a mighty God who's never weak, who's never asleep, who's never defeated. And we need to be strong in that might, not in our own power. I've got no power. Not in our own authority. I've got no authority. But in the power and authority of Jesus Christ, in His might. Oh, we have to know who we are. This widow knew only the king. Even a bad king, he was her only hope. But yours and my hope isn't hinged on a bad king. Yours and my hope is on the King of Kings, woo, the King of Glory. Our hope is on a Savior who died for us because He loved us so much and who would not leave us powerless, who would not leave us orphans, adopted us into the family of God and left us with His Spirit, His power, His anointing, and His authority. Oh, hallelujah. We have to keep pushing. We have to keep pushing in, pushing in. We sang a song at the retreat, and I am not going to sing it for you. You're welcome. You are welcome. But I am going to read you the chorus. The chorus says, hold on. Hold on tight. What nobody knows is I'm a shouter. Well, you might know that. That part you might know. But Miss Lila gets a hold of me before these things, and she's like, look, you got to read this. You got to shout this part out for me. You got to shout. Okay, I'll be your shouter because I'm going to be screaming no matter what. So this was my part in this song. Hold on. Hold on tight. Press in. It'll be all right. Bring back memories or nightmares, ladies. And the last line of the chorus was, stand on the promises of God. But that is so rich. That is so rich. We have to hold on. We have to press in. Just like this widow did. She kept pressing in. She kept pressing in. She kept going to that king. And she kept going to that king. It didn't matter. He kept saying no. 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 Go on. You're done. I don't want to see you. It didn't matter. She kept pressing in. She kept pressing on. She kept going to him. And we need to go before our God just the same. We can press in. We can hold on. And we can press in and know that He's going to answer. That He's going to make the way. That we're going to see an answer. Hallelujah. We need to pray the word over ourselves. Declare the word over ourselves every day. All day. If you can remember it, all day. I don't know how many of you know this. There's a book written by Kenneth Hagin. And it is The Authority of the Believer. I love that book. I think everybody should own at least 3 copies of that book. That way, if you lose one, you've still got 2 more. That is so good. And he said in his book that a literal life-changing change took place in his life when he began to pray this over himself every morning, standing in front of the mirror. Listen to this. This is Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 20. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, this is Him now praying, I pray that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That is so powerful. And if you put your name in there and you begin to pray, Lord, I pray that you would grant me, Janine, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in my inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith, that you, me, being rooted and grounded in your love, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge, that I may be filled with the fullness of God. He said when he began to pray that prayer over himself several times a day, 3 and 4 times a day, change began to take place in him. The power of the Lord began to operate in him like never before. Suddenly he had wisdom like he'd never had before. He had understanding like he'd never had. That's what the Word does. It changes things. It changes things. And it says in verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Hallelujah. I had a Bible study when I was teaching in Mexico. I did a Bible study on who I am. And I began with just a few verses, I think a few confessions. I began with 22 confessions, and I began teaching them in this Bible study. And I was in a Bible study 100 years ago where they did this, and we printed out all of these Bible confessions on a paper, and I taped them up on my bathroom mirror and on the mirror of my dresser in my room, so that every morning when I was dressing, I prayed these confessions, who I am over me. I said them to myself, you are, I am, because it needed to get inside here. Just because we know something here doesn't mean we have it here. And here is where we need to have it. It needs to not just be in our head, but it needs to sink down into our spirit, into our heart. And I began to pray these over you. I recommend, somebody said at the retreat that we all have Google now. And there isn't anything we can't find on Google. You can put into Google, I am Christ confessions. I am Bible Christ confessions. Bible, I am confessions. Any of those things. And you will find some of these confessions that will help you begin to get it solidified into us who we are. Because we have all this power and all this authority and we have this anointing, but we're not using it. That's the problem. And we're not going to use it until we believe it's ours. Until we believe it's been given to us. Until we believe we have a right to operate in this. If every time the Lord gives us a word, we think, oh, I'm not good enough. Who am I? I'm just me. Who's going to believe this is from God? Who's going to believe God spoke to me? Can I tell on you? So at the retreat, a friend of mine was there from Quinault. She comes with a group. And she was telling me that she was leaving very discouraged. Not that the retreat wasn't wonderful, it was awesome, but she had come waiting to hear a particular word, a very, very specific word she had to hear, and she didn't hear it. And so Sunday, she's just kind of ambling towards the door. She's leaving, and she's just like, oh, Lord, I didn't get my word. I didn't get my word. You were supposed to give me a word. I came expecting this word. Why didn't you give it to me, Lord? And she said, then she heard somebody call her name. Oh, Holly! Holly! And little Miss Adorable Brianna ran over to her with big old tears in her eyes. And I only know this because Holly told me. Big old tears in her eyes. She said, Holly, God gave me a word for you. And she was all excited. What? What did he say? She said, God said, I always have the last word. And you know what Miss Holly did? She began to weep. She said, that is the exact wordage that I asked the Lord to say to me. Lord, remind me. Tell me that you always have the last word. Tell me that you're going to have the last word. Now, I believe, and I don't know for positive, but this was Brianna's first time of God giving her a message to share with somebody. Is that true? Yeah. First time out the gate, and the girl nails it because she trusted God. And she gave someone the exact words that they had to hear. That's power. Oh, that is power. But what if Miss Brianna said, oh, I'm too new at this. I don't talk very good. How can this be God's voice? No, this can't be God. No, this isn't God. I'm just being fanciful. Oh, this can't be God. No, God wouldn't talk to somebody like that. I can't say that to somebody. No. No, Lord, I'd really rather do something different. This isn't really what I want to do. I mean, I want to serve you and everything. I just don't want to give people words. I don't want to be responsible for that. I want to do something else. How often have we told the Lord that? Lord, I don't want to preach. I don't want to sing. I don't want to get up in front of people. I did. Oh, all the time. Oh, no, preacher, me, no way. Well, guess what? I got the mic now. But she gave a word. She trusted the Lord. She stepped out, and it was powerful. It made everything worth it for that friend of mine. She was so excited. She was so thrilled. She was so humbled. She was so delighted that God spoke to her like that. Hallelujah. Well, how could Brianna do that? Because Holy Spirit lives in her. Holy Spirit's leading her and guiding her and talking to her and using her for His glory, because she is the salt of the earth. She is the light of the world. She is a son of God. Hallelujah. She is a slave of Jesus. She is joint heirs with Jesus. She is a member of the body of Christ, and she is a new creation. She is a holy servant of God, faithful before the Lord. She is reconciled to God with a ministry of reconciliation. She is the workmanship of God. That's how she can do it. And God wants to do that through each and every one of us. Nobody should ever miss out on a word from God because we're too embarrassed or too shy or too scared or too whatever to hear His voice. Because He's given us everything we need. We have His power, His authority. We have His name. Hallelujah. Oh, we have every key we need to defeat the enemy in every situation. And it's so important that we learn who we are in the Lord, so that when the enemy comes, we don't become discouraged. So when the enemy starts with his lies, we don't get discouraged. We don't lose hope. When the answer hasn't come the second we think it should have come, that we don't lose hope. We don't lose faith, because the Lord is coming back for a faithful people. He is coming back for a people who know Him and who know His voice. Hallelujah. And it should be you and me. It should be all of us. Because He's called all of us for His glory and for His purposes. And He is always working to that end, that His glory be revealed. You know, He's not going to give up His glory to you and I. We talked a little bit about, I think at the retreat, about He has stored up, maybe it wasn't at the retreat, it was somewhere else, but He has stored up all of this glory and all of this power in these vessels of clay, easily broken, easily shattered, easily dented, because that way nobody else gets the glory. Only He gets the glory, because only God could have given Brianna those exact words. Only God. Nobody else. Only God knows the right thing we need to hear when we need to hear it. Only He knows the exact right thing to say. Hallelujah. And we serve a mighty God, and we need to continually be before Him and not lose hope. Praise the Lord. Stand with me to your feet tonight. Praise the Lord. If you've been watching tonight, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you. Miss Della, if you're watching, we miss you so much, and we just love you, and we just adore you. We're so grateful for everyone that watches online. We're so grateful. We're going to close with a closing prayer, praise the Lord, and then we're going to have prayer for people here tonight. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And Lord, most of all, we thank you that you haven't abandoned us. You haven't left us helpless. You haven't left us orphans. Oh, but Lord, you've given us your spirit, your power, your word, your anointing, oh God, your authority, Father. Woo, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Help us to rise up in that authority. Help us to rise up in that might. Help us to rise up in that power for your kingdom and for your glory, Jesus. Oh, use us, Father. Use us, weak and fragile as we are. Let your glory be seen in us, oh God. Lord, as the army of Gideon cracked those clay vases, Lord, crack our clay vases, Lord, and let your light shine out, precious Jesus. Let you be seen and just you, Lord God. And we just praise you tonight, Father, in your precious name, and we just worship you, Jesus. Amen.